Hey, welcome back for the second hour of my show, I Am the Ball. I'm surprised as you are they invited me back. I can do it the second hour. Hey, the show is I Am the Ball. We're on KVOI 1030. Call in. We're going to get about four sets of tickets for tomorrow night's game with Arizona and Colorado. The number is 790-2040. We'll take the first caller in this segment to call and just talk to Bob, and we'll get you those tickets.
You mean what? You want them to call right now?
Well, in this next free time
the
that we
next
have.
Next segment.
This segment right here. Because I have four sets.
So we got to get rid of. So you want them to call right now and get the first set.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah. In the meantime, I'm going to introduce my next guest who I think is a great guy. I'm not trying to sugarcoat it, but he brought me kind of to do this radio station, a radio show with him. 15, 20 years ago, it was
longer ago than that.
It was a blast. I had a great time with Mike Gabrielson. Gabe, you can kind of tell his voice, and the guys who listened to us back in the day say we had a great time just shooting it around.
I feel like a proud father here, you know, watching you in front of a microphone. You know, I mean, I made you, and you know, you've always been the guy that has a face made for radio, and you know, here you are.
Could you have made me better, please? What happened there?
You know, I tried and tried and tried, but the ingredients just weren't there. They didn't quite all fit together.
This was that weird science in reverse.
Yes, exactly.
Just didn't work. But we had a fun time back in the day.
It was a blast.
Yeah.
Those writers' roundtable shows were so much fun.
Right. Well, insightful and sometimes clever, sometimes funny. Yeah. I tried to bring the, I don't know.
You're still trying.
I'm still trying.
You're still trying.
Still trying to read those books. Hey, what have you been up to?
Gosh, well, it has been, what, 20 plus years since I've been on radio in Tucson. I think 1998. Mm-hmm. Doing sports. I mean, I did. I left the radio station, sold KTUC, and I got offers to change cities. At that point, I was a single dad raising, you know, Brian, who was what, three or something like that, four, and didn't really want to move. I mean, my offers were Seattle, Minneapolis, and Atlanta. I didn't want to go to Seattle, Minneapolis, or Atlanta. I wanted a job in Phoenix. So Jerry Simmons said, hey, you know, come work for me, you know, fixing cars for a couple weeks until you get an offer from Phoenix. Well, 20 years later, I was still working for Simmons. And my wife and I started making plans about retirement and stuff and said, you know, what's important to you? And I said, well, I've got to be near water because I love to fish. I got to be by water. And she said, well, I've got to have warmth. I said, well, you know, we go to Laughlin quite a bit. Let's go up and look in that area. And, you know, I found a place in Bullhead City that I just fell in love with. We both fell in love with. And I moved up to Bullhead City last year, so I've been up there for, you know, about a little bit over a year now.
Yeah, very cool. I follow you a little on Facebook.
I've been renting jet skis.
Renting jet skis, yeah. Yeah, and you tell those stories, and they're pretty funny. Old people, young people, just...
I rented this year to a guy who took his 96-year-old grandfather out for a ride with him. I rented solo to a woman who was 93. She and her husband used to live there and ride all the time, and she was just back and wanted to ride a ski. I rented to a young couple who took their 6-month-old baby out. You know, that's a little too young for me, but, you know, we had a life vest that fit, and, you know, there you go. So, yeah, it's quite a cross-section of humanity you see there. It's marvelous. I mean, I see people from the Middle East. I see people from Asia. I see people from, you know, South America. Mm-hmm. I see people from my hometown, Cornville, Arizona. It's amazing. It's a blast.
Is there anybody left in Cornville, Arizona?
There are. I did not see the, you know, last one out turn out the lights. I mean, it's huge. I mean, John McCain lived in Cornville.
How many people there?
John McCain lived in Cornville.
How many people now?
Now? I don't know. It's been 4 or 5 years since I've been through
since
there.
Since you've been through the stop sign.
But they have
work?
More than one stop sign.
They do?
Yes.
Does
yes.
it work?
Actually, the last time I was through there, I met the guy that bought my parents' house, and uh-huh. he still owns it. And so he gave me a tour. I'm like, wow, this thing shrunk. It was a lot smaller.
Right.
I remember the big deal was I could jump and touch the ceiling. Well, you know, wow, they're so short.
Right. Well, I've been to my house like that back in the day, back at home. Hey, let's talk about sports real quick. What do you think the state of sports, you follow Arizona, I think, it is right now? It's kind of strange. A lot different than what it was back in the day.
Yeah. One of the things that being out of sports, mm-hmm. and you don't know this yet, has done for me is it's made me realize how much of a people industry and a people business this is.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up a Sun Devil fan, an ASU Sun Devil fan. I went to Arizona State. I am a Sun Devil. I came to Tucson not caring for the Wildcats a whole heck of a lot. And yet when you meet people like you know, Keith Smith and Warner Smith and Ortez Jenkins and Richard Dice and,
you know,
Heath Bray and Dick Tomey. You root for them. You can't help but root for them. Mm-hmm. You know, so I always told them, I said, okay, you know, my loyalties are with ASU. I'm going to root for them 12 times a year. I'll root for you guys 11 times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think some of that's gone. Because I don't watch professional sports anymore.
It's hard to. I rarely do it, too.
The last NBA game I watched was Game 6 of the Bulls and Suns Final, 93.
That's
the last NBA game I watched.
I covered that game. It was fun.
Yeah. I don't know the last time I watched the NFL, you know, so,
wow.
You know, all the whole flag flap and the kneeling and everything
sure.
else didn't affect me one way or another because I don't watch the NFL.
Sure.
I'll watch the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
College sports I love. College sports is scaring the heck out of me.
It's changing, isn't
it's
it?
It's really scaring the heck out of me. And I think it's, I don't know whether sports reflects society or society is reflected in sports. Because let's talk about the current situation with the U of A.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You know a heck of a lot more about it than I do. I'm following it through the papers.
Where are you going, football or
basketball?
Basketball. Okay.
This has been going on for a long time. You know, when I was covering
you're
U of A.
You're talking in the sport.
In the sport.
Yeah.
In the sport and outside the sport with the agents and the directing of players and everything else. College basketball is unwatchable for me. It truly is. And I hate to say that because I know you love it.
No, it's been your bread and butter.
I don't
disagree with you at all. My view on sports as a whole has changed in the last 20 years. And people who are close to me know that. This is what I do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a joy anymore.
Yeah, I almost feel like that old guy, you know, get off my lawn guy.
Yeah. Know? Unfortunately, yeah. I kid the kids today that are out there and I say, you know, enjoy it now because in about 20 years, you're not going to enjoy
it. Yeah.
There's something called life.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to worry about rather than, you know, going to games. And as much as I do enjoy that, it's totally different than how it was.
Yeah. And I'm still a college fan.
Yeah.
But
sure.
It's scaring me because we're sacrificing, and we always have, but maybe more so now, we're sacrificing morals for wins. And I don't necessarily think that that's the right thing to do. I don't think that's the right lesson.
No, I don't disagree with you.
I was glad to see Maryland finally step up and fire the
that
guy
was the
like
right
they
decision.
Should have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, Ohio State should have fired Meyer, you know, but he wins games. So, you know, there's your balancing act. To this day, I will maintain, and to my dying breath, I will maintain that one of the greatest influences on my life, because he's one of the finest human beings I ever met, was Dick Tomey.
Mm-hmm.
If Dick won on Saturday night, he was very happy.
Right.
If he lost on Saturday night, he wasn't too awfully worried about it because he knew his team had given its best.
Right.
And that was the lesson he always taught.
Yeah, it's funny because Jamino, who may or may not call today, wanted to talk to you about 2-point conversion. Like you guys...
Well, Anthony needs to get over it. He was wrong 30 years ago, and he's wrong today.
That might prompt him to call, but I totally agree with you. In fact, Dick Tomey, and I covered his first 3 years, or my first 3 years here, he's kind of like the father of Flanagan.
Yeah.
A great guy. He reminds me a lot of my father in terms of his relationship with Richie. Because he was a single father who raised Richie, and the meals that he used to make were cheeseburgers grilled cheese and tater tots.
Mm-hmm.
That's more than what I could make, right?
Mm-hmm.
Still, but I could relate to that, and he was just a good guy.
He was,
and still is.
And it's been years since I've seen Dick, and you know, and I miss him to death, but. You know, when I see through you and Anthony's Facebooks and Javier's Facebooks and then through some of the, you know, the things on the Arizona Daily Star and mm-hmm. stuff, you know, through social media, when I see him, you know, the efforts he makes for Warner, you know, before
right.
Warner passed away
mm-hmm.
and, you know, and coming back for the 98 team and things like this, you know, I mean, that's just genuine. You know, this is a guy that loved his players. And his players loved him.
Yeah. When we go to break pretty soon, about 30 seconds or so, we'll come back and talk about some of the best stories that you ever had or
sure.
covered and maybe some of the people that you had in during that time because there were a lot of great games in that time.
There were.
Some of the best football programs, too. I think you had just missed the 98 team.
I was partially on. I saw the 98 team in 97, yes.
Okay. We'll come back and talk about that after the break. Thanks.
It's time for a change in Southern Arizona. Our Legislative District 2 community has been forgotten by the legislators in Phoenix, and it's time to show them the possibilities and the opportunities here in our border communities. I'm an educator, business owner, and a problem solver. I understand our issues. We need to send somebody to Phoenix who will fight for our community. It's time for a change in Southern Arizona, a time for prosperity and hope for the future. Elect me, Shelley Kice, for the Arizona State Senate, and we will work together for our community.
Paid for by Kice for Arizona.
Join us Friday, November 2nd for a special night of Arizona football. The Wildcats play the Colorado Buffaloes on Military Appreciation Night. Our military will be honored throughout the game, including a special national anthem and halftime performance. Help send our troops to the game with our ticket donation program. That's Arizona football versus Colorado. Friday, November 2nd, kickoff at 7:30. For details, go to arizonawildcats.com/FB or call 520-621-CATS.
Reliable and timely financial information from Bloomberg Radio Network, 7 p.m. to 6 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk. As the sun shines on the Rincon Mountains, Christy Simone wakes up Tucson from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on KVOI AM 1030. Trusted local news and talk.
Being there matters. And your United States Navy protects and defends America on the world's oceans. Around the globe, around the clock, Navy ships, submarines, aircraft, and most importantly, tens of thousands of America's finest young men and women are ready to defend America when piracy threatens global commerce, when disaster strikes, or when called upon by the Commander-in-Chief. Your Navy is there. When it comes to protecting and defending America, being there matters. And America's Navy is already there.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on you.
Hey, welcome back. This is Steve Rivera. I'm with Gabe from back in the day, Gabe, from Sports Talk.
Sports Talk Tucson.
Sports Talk Tucson. That was a lot of fun back in the day. Let's go back and do some reminiscing right now.
Okay.
What was your best story that you had to come across in your time? Because you were, how long did you do it?
10 years.
10 years, from like 89 to, or 98, or 88 to
89 to 98.
So your best story, your best couple stories?
The one that I feel best about now in retrospect, and your next host actually was a big part of that as well, John Scott. Mm-hmm. TUSD made an announcement that it was going to cut freshman sports, couldn't afford freshman sports. And I thought that was just wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said so on the air quite loudly and maybe not very politely, in many ways. And it snowballed. And I got calls from the Arizona Cardinals. Somebody called people up in Phoenix. I don't know, but anyway, the Arizona Cardinals called while I was on the air. The Phoenix Suns called while I was on the air.
Supporting you, I assume.
Yeah, and donating money.
Oh.
John Volpe, who was going to Stanford at the time, who wasn't even part of TUSD because he was an Amphi kid,
right,
called and said this is wrong. And I think he donated money, if I'm not mistaken. But anyway, we raised about $10,000 to basically what, and they said the kids were going to start having to pay for their equipment as well. So they didn't cut freshman sports, and we were able to use that money in a scholarship way to help kids that couldn't afford their own equipment have equipment to pay sports. So that was probably the one that I feel the best about in retrospect.
That was, had to be 88, 90?
We were still downtown at the time. The station was still downtown, so it had to be 89, yeah, maybe 90.
I can't remember that story, but it is a good story. Well, anything else that struck you at U of A?
The first big one that I covered, were the Singletons.
Yeah, we talked about that.
Chris and Kevin.
Yeah.
And I didn't know either of them at the time, mm-hmm, because it happened before the football season.
Yeah.
So that happened, I got here in July. And so I hadn't even been to Camp Cochise yet at that time.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you know, here's this, you know, our All-American linebacker has
big
leukemia.
Guys. Yeah, big
you
guys.
You know, and it was just, it was like crushing. Mm-hmm. It's like, holy, you know, I came to cover sports, you know. This and that's when it started becoming about people.
Right.
Not
right.
about sports.
And if you remember, they're the twins, obviously, Chris and Kevin. Big guys, 6'6", 4'6", something like that. Big guys.
Yeah.
Always wore their shades. And I give them grief about it now because we're Facebook friends. And the imposing, look mean as all heck, but very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And then it struck that we learned that he had leukemia.
Yeah.
And in fact, I talked to him yesterday on Facebook. He's going to be on a guest next week.
Good. Chris or Kevin?
Kevin.
Kevin. Okay, so Kevin was the donor.
No, Kevin was the one who had the leukemia.
Okay, Chris was the All-American who donated to
correct,
Kevin.
Correct.
Yeah, okay, yes.
Correct.
Yes.
So he's going to be on, but a fantastic story. And I'm completely convinced that that story would be botched today. Because back in the day, we could tell a story.
You could take a few minutes with it.
We didn't talk to him, obviously, but we could talk to people around him and what it meant to people. And this campus, at least on the campus of U of A, was unbelievably hurt by all the news.
It was.
But loving at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm not sure we could tell that.
Damon Terrell passing away. You know, I mean, that was crushing.
Correct.
To the whole community. You
right.
know,
Anthony covered the team back then. I was covering U of A. But that was huge. I think that's when, Dick Tomey brought the team together.
Yeah.
And had that kind of moment of silence or whatever for him. Incredible. Well, anything else that struck out? Basketball-wise, you were at the Charlotte Final Four, weren't you?
I was at the Charlotte Final Four.
We were together at that, if I can remember.
Yep. I was in Minneapolis at the Final Four as well. Minneapolis where Bobby Knight was following up his Calbert Chaney with the whip story and everything. So that was quite interesting. Bob Huggins was there from Cincinnati for the first time. Let's see. Duke was there. Duke, Indiana, Cincinnati, and I think it was Michigan. But yeah, Charlotte was great with Arizona. You had Arkansas, Florida and Duke. Okay.
Yeah. A lot of fun back then. I think we have Anthony on the line. Is that right? Anthony, are you on the phone?
Hello.
How are you? Oh, here we go with the big debate.
Sounds like Anthony, yeah.
So,
what's up, AG?
First of all, it's good to hear your voice, Gabe.
Well, thank you, and it's good to hear from you.
Not so much from Steve, because I hear Steve's voice all the time.
Last time I heard your voice, we were actually on Buckmaster's show.
That's right.
Giving a prediction, and I believe that I turned out to be prophetic, and you were wrong.
He does that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to bring that up again.
You have a long history of being wrong about arguments with me, don't you, Anthony?
You were so wrong. You know, here is the argument for people who aren't in the know here. Here is the argument that goes between you and me and John Mordage at the time, because you had us both on, and we were in agreement against you. 19 versus Washington State. Arizona's up there in Pullman. The Cougs are really good. Ryan Leaf, all that stuff. They're number 10 in the country. Arizona goes into overtime. Washington State scores. Arizona scores a touchdown. Dick Tomey decides to go for two. You hated, as I recall, you hated that Dick Tomey went for two. At there to win the game at the end of overtime.
Wow, I don't even remember arguing with you about that one. I thought we were talking about the Cal game with Ryan Hessen and... You know, five overtimes or whatever it went to.
No, because that was in the 97, or maybe, I think it was 97. Maybe it was 96. I could be wrong about that. You know, that may be something I'm wrong about. But you argue that it turned out to be kind of a horrible play call because this was a year before Ortiz Jenkins did the leap by the lake at Washington, right?
Yeah.
Which, in retrospect, was a
horrible play call.
That he wasn't a horrible play call. It was a horrible decision by Ortiz that he rescued with great execution. Now, in this game against Washington State, he basically was running an option. It was basically an early run-pass option, and he had Brandon Manumaliuna wide open in the end zone and decided to keep it and got stuffed. So before OJ became OJ, that was OJ. But the Ryan Hessen thing, that was...
So the play call was a good one, It should have succeeded.
Was horrible.
It should have succeeded, so it was a good decision. It was just poor execution.
Right.
Okay, so
right.
So I was correct then in arguing that they should have gone for two.
No, you argued that they shouldn't have gone for two.
See, this
you
is,
were arguing that they should have.
This is the discussion.
Well, in that case, they didn't make it, so it was a terrible play call. The execution was horrid. They never should have trusted it, so
there
they should have played
there
for the tie on the road and seen what they could have done the next week. Because they had great defensive players back in those days.
To the listeners, this is what happens when you get old and you don't remember
yes.
what you talk about 20
yeah.
years.
That's exactly. But I actually had a couple questions for Gabe.
Go right ahead.
If I may.
Yeah, sure.
There's a couple things that I remember from Gabe's tenure on the radio. One, that you did a week of shows from Douglas or Bisbee when the team went down to Camp Cochise for
yep.
fall camp.
Yep.
And beyond that, I think maybe my very favorite, that was great, but maybe even better, was that the week of the Arizona State game. You did nothing but talk about Arizona State. That was it.
That was correct.
Nothing else going on in the world
correct.
Except for that. And that was before we called it the Territorial Cup and all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm. As it should be, don't you think?
What were your motivations for doing those things?
Well, the motivation for Camp Cochise was because I was, for the most part, on the air when the Wildcats were practicing. I didn't have a whole lot of opportunity to interact with them on a daily basis like you writers did. So this gave me an opportunity to interact with the team, the players, the coaches in a very casual environment and get to know them get to know me before we went into a season when it was obvious that there were some points during the season that I was going to have to be critical of their play or their decisions. So that was my motivation behind the visits to Camp Cochise. And you just learn so much about the players as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the ASU U of A thing, my motivation for that started probably back in about 1968 when they called it the Ultimatum Bowl, when mm-hmm. the Sun Bowl, this is before there were 56 bowl games, and an invitation to a bowl game was highly coveted. And the Sun Bowl said, we're going to invite the winner of Arizona versus Arizona State. And before that, I'd given Arizona not a whole lot of thought, one way or the other. I mean, I was 9 years old, 10 years old. And Daryl Mudra, then the coach of U of A, said, take us or leave us. Became known as the Ultimatum Bowl. And the Sun Bowl officials caved like the cheap, spineless guys that they were. They invited Arizona. And then Arizona State came down to Tucson and kicked the holy hell out of Arizona that year. And should have had the Sun Bowl invite. They didn't go anywhere. And so at that point, I became quite an avowed anti-U of A person. And so every year growing up, from the time I was 10 until, you know, now I'm 59, I mean, that is the game of the year that I will not miss, is ASU-Arizona football. And I have not missed one, you know, since I've started watching them.
Yeah. What kind of memories do you have?
Mostly horrid ones, because they all during the streak. What y'all
sure,
call the streak? Well, my first year down here was a horrid memory because they played up in Tempe, and I went up there to cover the team. And by then, I know the U of A players and everything else, and I'm starting to feel some affinity for them, although I'm still obviously a Sun Devil. And Arizona came out wearing those god awful banana uniforms.
I remember those. Is that Marmy? That was Marmy.
That was Marmy. Yeah. Yes. That was just horrible. But they always ended on a fluke. They were always a fluke. Yeah. I mean, the Cecil interception, of course. I mean, whoever forgets that. Cecil owned the Sun Devils. I mean, he made so many plays in that series. It was just ridiculous. I hate Chuckle Cecil for that.
Hey, Anthony, are you going to stick around? We're going to go to break here. So maybe 2-3 minutes.
I can, or I could just let you guys talk.
Okay, whatever you decide. Well, if you're back, you're back. If not, we're not. We got to go to break right now. Thanks
okay.
for listening to the Eye on the Ball show on KVOI.
Where do we go from here now that all of the children are growing up? And how do we spend our lives if there's no one who lends us a hand?
For secure borders, better jobs, a stronger economy, increased school funding, and a commitment to protecting property and water rights, you can't do better than the proven team of Gail Griffin and Becky Nutt for State House. Griffin and Nutt are getting our education dollars into the classrooms to boost teacher pay and improve student achievement. Griffin and Nutt are serious about border security and serious about keeping our community safe. That's why they give our local law enforcement all the support they can, and why they continue to press the federal government to secure our borders once and for all. And Griffin and Nutt are leading the charge to protect our private property and water rights. They know that the fight over water is constant, and rural America needs skilled lawmakers to protect what's ours. You get two votes for two state representatives. Vote Gail Griffin and Becky Nutt, and let's keep Arizona on the right track. Paid for by Vote Becky LD14 House and Griffin for House 2018, and authorized by Gail Griffin and Becky Nutt.
Psst, it's me, your bathroom medicine cabinet. I see you naked, know how often you floss, and watch you pluck unsightly hairs. I can keep a secret, but you need to know. Your kids have been taking your prescriptions to get high. I couldn't keep it quiet, because prescription drug abuse now causes more deaths than cocaine and heroin ODs combined. So please, mind your meds. For tips on safeguarding your meds and your family, visit the Partnership for Drug-Free Kids at drugfree.org.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. We survived the first four-hour show. We're moving ahead with a Double Food Friday. Red Desert Barbecue first anniversary celebration. Ben Ahn will be here talking Hokey Pokey. Matt Neely will be here. Gibson's Office Supply and author Lisa Jean Hart on 1030 KVOI, trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on politics.
Hey, welcome back to the show, Eye on the Ball. I'm here with Gabe, talking back in the day sports with Gabe.
Can I tell you about a caller before
sure.
Gabe start talking? Called in and just said he was so delighted to hear you on the radio because I remember back when it was all Gabe and that was just awesome, but I'm just so happy. And he had no idea that who your guest was. He did that at the top of the hour and just was gushing. And I just wanted you to know that it's nice to know, just loving the show.
Oh, great, great. Maybe I'll be back for tomorrow's show.
Yeah, there you go.
Tell the boss that.
Hey, there's a funny. You just said a funny.
Tell the boss that. Hey, I need all the little check marks and gold stars. Anthony, thanks. Anthony, did you stick around?
Here.
Yeah, good. Okay, cool. Hey, any other basketball? So, Anthony, did you go to the Final Four in 94?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I was there with the Arizona Daily Star contingent.
Okay.
But I was like the fifth guy out of a five-man crew they sent.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't have credentials.
Oh, so you were doing the man on the street fan stuff.
Kind of. Me and a news guy, Joe Salkowski, who's, Joe.
Yeah.
And we were kind of doing the color and all the stuff from around the arena. I was supposed to have a ticket to get into the arena and then have a pass to like go down and do interviews after the game, but I didn't have like a press credential. Well, it turns out those tickets from the Star that the Star had gotten were from like marketing or sales or something like that. And it turns out like some huge advertiser called up and said, hey, we want those tickets. And so the sports department pulled my tickets to go into the arena for the game. And Joe and I ended up
hanging out outside.
Charlotte, writing, we wrote a story from, we pretty much watched the first half of the game in a bar, talking to fans, and we watched the second half of the game in our hotel room. So that was great money that the Star spent to send me to Charlotte so I could cover the game from watching it on TV.
It was a blast.
I hope you guys had fun.
It was fun.
It was work, but it was the smallish arena. Obviously, they don't play those games in that type of arena. And Clinton was there at the time.
Clinton, there was what was it, 2-3 hours to get through security that day?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
All my tape recorders were taken apart and put back together.
Yeah. Well, for good reason, you know. Yeah. For good reason. I wouldn't trust you either. So in 97, were you at, where was the final?
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis.
No, I sent Tony.
Tony, okay.
I said Tony Fernandez. Yeah. I'm pretty sure it was Tony that covered Indianapolis.
Any other big stories that you remember, maybe not football related?
Well, Ben Davis.
Ineligible?
Ineligible. Mm-hmm. You know, I broke that story, much to the consternation of the U of A, and, you know, got many warnings. You know, you better be right about this, you better be right about it, you know, or you're going to get your credential pulled and all that sort of stuff. Well, of course, I was right. And then they had to come out with the announcement the next day, you know. But they'd trotted him through media day, you know, and said, this is our great savior. And I love Ben. Ben's a great guy.
He's a fantastic guy.
Yeah, I love Ben. Ben's a great guy. You know, but, you know, you don't trot a guy through media day and say, this is the junior college player of the year. He's going to be our savior this year one day. And then the next day say, oh, gosh darn it, he's ineligible. We just figured this out. You know, no. They knew for a long time he was going to be ineligible.
Was that 95, 94?
94, 95. It was after Charlotte.
Yeah, it was 94, because he came in after transfer from Kansas.
Yeah.
I can barely remember that story being ineligible.
Yeah. But he was only ineligible for the first semester, you know, because he hadn't made progress toward the degree, whatever that requirement thing is.
Any stories about Gabe Anthony that you already talked about?
Well, I think I've probably
exhausted.
forgotten much of the drinking at Bisbee during Camp Cochise, but I do recall there was a little bit of that.
There was a couple of times there at, what was it, St. Michael's or something like that? St. Elmo's.
St. Elmo's.
Yeah, St. Elmo's.
And that was back, you remember, this I think you remember, Gabe, is, you know, back then whether we, you know, after the second practice, after dinner, after, you know, we had written our stories and, you know, sometimes back in the day, you might go tip a couple with an assistant coach or two.
There were a few times, yeah.
That was in Douglas or Bisbee or whatever, and that was really kind of normal back in the.
I was just going to say, could you imagine
in the 90s and that, maybe even the early 90s? That kind of went away, but you really got a sense of
who they were,
who those guys were,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got a sense of. What they thought of certain players. I mean, obviously, you weren't there to write notes and take down quotes and throw it back at them later.
But that's where you develop the trust.
Writer, yeah, you know, yeah. Steve, it informed you when you did sit down and write stories that you had good information and you had information that was relevant. Now you just... It feels like we're just trying to scratch at things because we don't really know because we don't get to see or talk to them.
Correct. It's become very adversarial, and it wasn't then.
No, of course.
And it doesn't need to be now.
No. We
you had guys, Gabe, you had guys, you had players. Sometimes you'd set out your table, like right there in front of the ticket office outside McHale, and guys would come off the practice field, and you'd grab them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
They'd be happy to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and then speaking of that, yeah, I did that for like a year or two, you know, like mm-hmm. on Wednesdays or something like that, we'd be there and do it from there and, you know, grab guys after practice and stuff. And it wasn't until after one of those interviews, and I think it was Keith, as a matter of fact, Keith Smith, and it was the week of ASU U of A, and he said, you know, you just did this whole interview and you're wearing an ASU hat. I'm like, wow. Yeah, you know, that was probably not real considerate.
I've always wondered who dressed you,
yeah,
in fact.
That was not real considerate of me, was it?
And guess what he's wearing today? An ASU shirt.
Yep.
Yeah, so which is fine. You know, I'm neither here nor there on either team. So it's funny. Anthony, did you watch or did you listen to the segment with Juwan?
I did.
Surprised that Miller had offered him a job here?
If I knew that, I certainly didn't remember it.
Yeah, and to me, it's news.
Yeah, I thought Juwan was really open about several things there. So.
And we may talk about this tomorrow. I want to say that you're going to be one of my guests in tomorrow's second hour. But what struck me also, and I totally agree with him, is that how universities treat their athletes and they coddle them. They almost keep them from the public, and I know they do that more now than they did back in the day. And then when they're done, they're done. They throw, as he said, threw them to the wolves, so threw them to the wolves. Don't you get that more and more? Don't you think that happens more and more?
I mean, they would have, if Gabe were around today and was setting up his audio equipment outside McHale, they'd be throwing body blocks to keep guys away from them.
Yeah, and back in the day, I mean, it was Cedric Dempsey, I think, started it, and I think Jim Livengood ended up continuing it. They actually had classes for incoming freshmen on how to deal with the media.
And they still do. They still do.
Well, if you're not going to let them deal with the media, what the hell's the point of the class?
Well, I think now it's more a softening of the media, where they don't say bad things.
You know, now they've got all the social media and everything else going on. But while I've got both of you on, and I probably and I wanted to get you on this, okay, let's talk about basketball a little bit. Okay, and both of you are very close to this. Maybe Steve more than Anthony, I don't know. But Coach Miller, did he know? Or was he completely oblivious to what was going on in his program?
That's to be determined.
I want your opinion.
I don't know. And we've talked about this with Anthony all the time.
Hey, this is Steve's show, so I'm going to let Steve answer that.
I'll answer
that on a different show.
Yeah, that's the question that I think everybody talks about but doesn't know.
Yeah, none of us have the facts. I mean, they know.
They know. In fact, we could talk about this, and stick around for the next segment, Anthony. We're going to go in about a minute. But we could talk about today's meeting with the Board of Regents, because I'm sure that still came up.
Yeah.
I have my thoughts. I don't know if he knows or knew or didn't know.
Either way, it doesn't reflect well on him.
That's the answer. That's the answer right there, because shame on him if he did, shame on him if he didn't.
Yeah.
That's the bad part. What comes of that, I do not know.
Well, the really bad part is now the rabid U of A fans saying he didn't know anything and we've done nothing wrong ever. That's the really bad thing. And that happens at every institution.
Sure.
It's not just U of A
fans. And you're seeing it now. Anthony and I talk about it all the time, because social media is now the rabid fans are protecting him and saying that.
Yeah.
And the guys from wherever.
It's the other guys.
The other dude did it.
The
520s outside of the 520s are saying, well, he did it.
Yeah.
I think we'll know more later, and we talk about Anthony. We'll know when we know. But I think in April, when Book goes to trial, that's when we should know more. True, Anthony, you think?
I agree.
Yeah. Okay, hey, we'll be back after this break for the final segment of Eye on the Ball.
LD10 deserves better than what we are getting. It's time for a bold new leader with a proven track record for getting results. As a taxpayer like you, I demand more action. We need a strong economy that supports growth for Southern Arizona with fewer taxes, an education system that puts our children's academic success first, and full visibility into where our taxpayer dollars are being spent and why. I'm Marilyn Wiles, and I need your vote for State Senate in LD10. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Marilyn Wiles.
Join us Friday, November 2nd for a special night of Arizona football. Wildcats play the Colorado Buffaloes on Military Appreciation Night. Our military will be honored throughout the game, including a special national anthem and halftime performance. Help send our troops to the game with our ticket donation program. That's Arizona football versus Colorado. Friday, November 2nd, kickoff at 7:30. For details, go to ArizonaWildcats.com/FB or call 520-621-CATS.
You've heard a lot about Prop 127, but it's really a very simple equation. Prop 127 makes you pay more. Prop 127 imposes California-style mandates, quote, irrespective of cost to consumers. That means higher electric bills for everyone. The typical Arizona family will pay $1,000 more per year. Electric bills for small businesses could double. And seniors living on fixed incomes will be hit especially hard. California tried this, and today electric rates in California are increasing 3 times the national average. We don't want California taxes in Arizona, or California's high cost of living. Why would we want California's skyrocketing electric bills? Visit VoteNoProp127.com and check the facts for yourself. Vote no on Prop 127. Paid for by Arizonans for Affordable Electricity. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. John C. Scott features interviews with elected officials, candidates, reporters, consultants, and voters in what shapes up to be one of the most critical election years in our history.
The John C. Scott Show, weekday afternoons 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KVOI. Trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on sports.
Hey, welcome back to the final segment of Eye on the Ball here on KVOI 1030. We still have some tickets remaining for tomorrow's game. If you'd like them, why don't you give us a call at 790-2040. We can get you, I think we have about three more pairs. So give us a call, talk to Bob about those tickets. Let's get back to the sports biz over here with Gabe. So we talked a little about football. What about basketball? Who are some of your best players to talk to? I bet you I can guess one right now.
Okay.
Chris Mills.
Chris would actually fall number two on my list.
So number two, who's number one? Man, I don't know who's number one.
Brian Williams.
Oh, okay.
Bison
wow.
Daly.
Wow.
Yeah. Brian and Chris were.
And
were,
I didn't have access to him because I didn't cover the team back then. But tell me some.
Yeah. Brian and Chris were my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Give me a quick Brian story that's safe for radio.
They went back to Pitt, and this is the Twin Towers.
Yes.
Brian and Sean Rooks, both. They combined for one rebound. They got beat at Pitt. Mm-hmm. Matt Othick had six rebounds.
Mm-hmm.
And I went on the air and I used a word that describes a female body part to describe their play, which I'm not going to use now on your show.
Thank you.
And they, of course, heard about it because this is a very small community. And they confronted me in the locker room,
mm-hmm.
you know, after the next game. Hey, we heard you called us this word. And I said, yeah. Well, how can you say that? I said, you got one rebound between the two of you. Jerome Lane was their tallest player. He was 6'4". You guys are 7-footers. You got one rebound between the two of you. Tell me how you played. And from then on, we got along great. And, mm-hmm. and you know, when Brian opened his restaurant here, you know, he invited me down. And he's, you know, one of my son's favorite pictures is Chris and Brian holding my son Brian when he's like 2 years old or something that at their restaurant opening and stuff. I just love Brian. He could put sports in the proper perspective at a young age.
He didn't care for basketball much.
No, at a young age he could put it in the proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Chris I liked because I expected a completely different person than the one I met.
Right.
And Chris was genuine.
He came in with a reputation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Chris was genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Chris was trying to transfer when I first started on the radio here, and the NCAA was holding it up and blah, blah, blah. And it turns out it was the U of A's fault. They hadn't sent in the proper paperwork, which, you know, said Dempsey and ended up saying, you know, I was listening on your show when the NCAA guy was talking, and he said that. So I used that as a promo for years. You know, the U of A athletic director listens to my show. Lid would have been up there. Khalid.
I like Khalid. You have three.
The M&M boys. You know, I'm Matt and Mo. You know, you had to love Matt and Mo.
Yeah, Muehlbach to me is one of the smartest, greatest guys I've ever met.
Yeah. And I heard him doing. I don't watch a lot of college basketball. I watched him do a game last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was an Arizona game,
mm-hmm.
and he's good.
He's very good. It's funny you talk about because Muehlbach does it. Corey Williams does it.
I've seen Corey. Corey's been great.
A lot of guys are on the radio.
What was Joe's name? He was on the Corey team.
McLean?
Joe McLean.
Yeah, another guy.
Joe still owes me.
Tell me, because I talk to him every now and again.
Yeah, we had a wager on, I think it was the Steelers and the Cowboys in the Super Bowl that year, and he was going to have to wear Cowboys underwear in a game if they beat the Steelers. And they beat the Steelers, and he didn't do it. So he still owes me.
He's a big-time money guy.
He's a finance guy now, yeah.
Yeah, for players.
Yeah.
For ex-players.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I should have done that with my life.
Yeah.
But so you have three different personalities because, you know, Brian was an eclectic, enigmatic kind of guy.
Yeah.
Tragically passed away. Unbelievable story he has. You've seen it a number of times in a lot of things.
Brutal.
Chris probably misidentified because he was a good guy, but you would never kind of know because of his reputation coming in. And then Khalid didn't say much when he was here, but a very kind guy.
Very good guy.
I haven't seen him since he left, I think.
Khalid is maybe the biggest surprise to me because I thought Khalid was going to be a big-time NBA player. Right. I thought Damon had maybe a chance to catch on with the team for a year.
Yeah, who's this guy, Damon?
You know?
Yeah.
Damon becomes one of the best of all time, right. You know, and Lid lasts for a cup of coffee.
I spoke to Damon on text yesterday, and I think he's going to be on my show tomorrow for a brief time. He's getting his team ready
at
Pacific. But let me tell you something. I've covered this team a while now. Sean Elliott. Easily the best player to ever come through here. Another great, fantastic guy. Who's number two and three?
Number two and three?
Two or three. Who's the second best, third best?
Well, I gave you like five right there.
No, I'm asking you, who, in your thoughts.
Oh, players. That's talent-wise, skill-wise. Mm-hmm. Oh. Gosh. Well, I covered Sean's team from Phoenix. I was at KTAR. That was before I'd moved to Phoenix. So I came down and covered Sean's team, Sean Elliott.
Oh, okay.
Probably four or five times. You know, that big Michigan State, Duke, you know, Fiesta Classic and everything. So I covered them from a distance, yeah. Gosh. Well, I you know, in my opinion, Brian Williams.
Number two?
Yeah, Brian Williams. And it's not because he was such a great college player, but he was... He probably had more physical ability and skills, potential.
Lute says he's the most athletic player he's ever had.
He was a freak.
He was, 7 foot? He could outrun some of the other guys. Yeah.
Freak.
He just didn't care enough about basketball.
Didn't care for it.
It's funny, I covered
childhood.
Yeah, ooh. Yeah. I covered him when he played with the Bulls, and thankfully the paper sent me to cover the Bulls back in 97 when Steve, Brian Williams, and Bushler were on the team, mm-hmm. and it was probably the best time I've ever had in sports. But he was funny then. He was different. My number two is Damon. I don't even know if there's a close second, but it's Damon.
See, in college, I still would take Khalid over Damon. Yeah. Now, Damon proved to be a better pro. But college players, I'd still take Khalid over Damon.
I think Khalid had...
Khalid can score
his
from
final
anywhere.
3 years, final 2-3 years, fantastic.
Khalid can score from anywhere.
Yeah.
And you know, people... Old-time U of A basketball fans, think back and remember that 94 season.
He was a stud.
And he was a stud.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that Christmas tournament where I think he went for, 40 or something
that? Well, he went 13 for 14 against Michigan.
I mean,
and just, they couldn't stop him. Nobody could.
He could score from anywhere.
In fact, in the book that we wrote, Damon said had he had an ounce of his will, of Damon's will, because they were roommates, you know that.
Mm-hmm.
It was like if Felix and Oscar.
Oscar and Felix.
And Felix, that Khalid would have been huge.
Yeah.
And he just didn't have it.
Yeah.
Didn't
I mean,
want
he
it.
Had an NBA body. You know, he had
could get to the basket.
He could get to the rack.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He would be up there.
So Damon for me, Brian Williams for you. Anybody else that comes to mind?
You know, I don't remember a lot of guys that were just like, you know, because it was Lute's system where the team was far more important than the individual.
Which it is today the same. Yeah.
And so nobody really got to, you know, to explode and stand out. And, you know, and I was gone by the time Iguodala and, you know, and some of those other guys.
And Gilbert Arenas.
And those guys were there.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't really get to see a whole lot of them. You know, they were just great teams, you know, back
super
in those
teams.
Days.
Yeah, yeah. In 95 they lost the first round, and then 96 you're still around.
They lost a lot of time in the first round back in those
days. Well, Santa Clara, East Tennessee State in Miami.
Yeah.
Then they caught fire in 97. I'm sure that shocked the heck out of you.
That shocked the heck out of me. Michael Dickerson. Michael Dickerson might be my number two.
He's in my top five, probably.
Yeah. Michael Dickerson, what a great kid.
Quiet,
I'm glad you brought that team up because I hadn't thought of Michael Dickerson in years, and just what a great kid he was. And he came, I think if I remember this right, he came on like at the end of the year before against ASU or something. He hadn't played all year, and then all of a sudden, boom.
Damon was suspended because of the shoes, and he came and he had like a
30-point game or something. Yeah, it's like, who was this guy?
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then the next year he shined because Miles was out.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to step up.
Mm-hmm.
And Lute gave him free reign. Go ahead. You have Bibby to help you and go.
And that's one of the real pleasant stories I've seen is Miles.
Yes.
Because I think Miles could have gone either direction.
Right.
Really. And Miles chose the right path. And he's, you know, I mean, I see him. He's working with kids. I see him on TV all the time. You know, I saw some Facebook post recently where he was under the weather. I hope he's okay. But yeah, he could have gone either way, I think. And he chose the right path and you know, became really a good citizen.
Right, right. And he's doing fantastic with the Lakers. I didn't know if anybody didn't know that. But, yeah, he's doing really well.
Yeah.
Luke, look at this.
Reggie Gary was a great kid.
I'm hoping to have him. He hasn't really confirmed for me tomorrow. But Reggie, that whole 94, 96 group, yeah. you had
they were a great group of kids.
You had Damon and Khalid. You had Reggie. You had Joe McClain, Corey Williams, Joseph Blair. And that group right there, Final Four guys.
Talk about guys that have made an impact mm-hmm. on other people's lives.
Still,
Joseph Blair.
Still. And it's funny because wow. I tried to get him on tomorrow's show because he starts his coaching career now, mm-hmm. this weekend I think it is. And, yeah, he suspended his last semester, and now he's this guy.
Yeah, wow. What a great guy he's become. Mm-hmm. You know, I see him doing all sorts of charity work in Tucson when he was here and stuff. You know, mm-hmm. the Blair – I think it was the Blair Foundation or something
Blair
like
Project,
that.
Blair Project, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, Lute and I didn't always get along.
Mm-hmm. I'm aware.
You know, there were – Greg and I were sort of persona non grata for a couple of years. He wouldn't answer our questions and wouldn't ask us, you know, call on us or anything else. But he recruited some great people, some great mm-hmm. kids.
Yeah. And that was one of his big things that he wanted, you know, because bad guys screw things up.
Yeah.
And he had a lot of cool dudes,
Yeah, I don't remember whether it was he or Dick that said this. It was probably Dick that told me this once. He says, if you make a mistake in recruiting and the guy gets away, you know, it hurts you once a year. If you make a mistake in recruiting and you get him, he hurts you every single day.
Yeah.
And Lute didn't make a lot of mistakes in recruiting.
No.
You know,
no.
And those that he may have made, they left.
They left, yeah.
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 The one I was sorry to see leave that I think really could have had a great career here, Tony Clark.
Yeah, yeah. And he had a great
New York tournament and then just never came back.
Sure, sure. And he had a great baseball career.
And had a great career.
Right.
Yeah, great baseball. And had a great San Diego State career. You
mm-hmm,
know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now he's the
director of players, the players union.
Sure,
so
another
baseball.
Smart guy. Another
yeah.
smart guy.
Yeah.
So look at all these smart guys. You have Steve Kerr, who's done, you know. Give me a weekend to be Steve Kerr, and I'll take it.
You know, when we want Steve Kerr to be our coach stories first started coming out,
yeah.
I said, what a fool not to go to New York and you know, work with Phil again. You know, what a fool this guy is. Oh, he's going to Golden State? Golden State's never been anything. Wow.
Yeah.
I think Steve might have been a little smarter than I am on that one.
Yeah,
huh?
I think he's probably the smartest guy I've ever covered. Mm-hmm. And I didn't cover him full-time back in the day, but I've covered him enough and
one of the truly great human beings.
Yeah, and that's where it starts.
Yeah.
That's where it starts.
This is a people business.
Election. It is.
You know,
is.
I keep trying to tell people this. This is a people mm-hmm. industry.
Yeah, and we're here to tell their stories.
Yeah.
Sometimes we're not allowed to tell their stories.
And I'm sorry, who's the sports information guy at the U of A now? Who's the AD? Oh, Heek? Is that his name? Heek?
Yeah.
Dave Heek? Well, Dave, if you're listening, open up access to your athletes, to the media. Because people want to hear their stories. John Q. Public is not going to go watch number 15 play football. But he will go watch Khalil Tate if he knows Khalil's story play football.
I totally agree.
And so, Dave, get it together. Yeah. You've got one of the most restrictive media policies in the Pac-12. Get over it. Get rid of it.
Yeah, I totally agree because we're here to tell stories. They should allow us to tell stories within reason, you know, give us more access. It's pretty simple.
Mm-hmm.
I think things have changed, but not that much.
It's a people business.
Thanks for being. Are you in town for a while?
I'm in town for a couple days.
Okay, so we'll see. We maybe talk again. But Dave, thanks for listening to my first 2 hours of Eye on the Ball. I hope you had a good time. I guess we'll be back tomorrow, if they let me come back tomorrow. I'm sure they will. I hope they will. So thanks for listening. Thanks to Bob Baffert. Thanks to Juwan McClellan. And thanks to Mr. Gabrielson here. And we'll see you tomorrow. Talk to you tomorrow.